Government Operations and Elections Committee will come to order. There is a quorum. Representative O'Driscoll, did you get a chance to review the minutes?
Madam Chair, I did. I move approval of the minutes from the 3rd of April.
Representative O'Driscoll moves approval of the minutes of Tuesday, April 3rd. Any corrections, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. We have one item on our agenda today, House File 1774, Representative Creasel. I will move that House File 1774 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the general or be placed on the general register. It will automatically. And I understand that you have one author's amendment, the A4 amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
I will move the A4 amendment. If you'd like to proceed with your bill.
Madam Chair, I was just informed that I guess it has to be referred to rules, and then they can put it on the general register.
Okay, I will renew my motion then that I thought it happened automatically. I will modify my motion on House File 1774. Be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And then I will renew my motion. I will renew the A4 motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment has a couple technical fixes in regards to the manual that's used to regulate these. And then I also specify that a local unit of government may impose reasonable restrictions on the hours of operation and location of retailers licensed to sell consumer fireworks under this section. So this would make sure that there is some local control, make sure that fireworks are not being sold. Just everywhere you look, cities can control that. Okay, if they want to make sure they're not sold by schools, churches, whatever it is, that it's up to the city. So this is something that there was some concern brought to me about local control, and I want to make sure that that I address that, and that's what this amendment would do.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Creasel, would included in that, could a local unit of government say we don't want any fireworks sold in tents, that they have to be in buildings, thereby restricting that part of it?
Representative Creasel.
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, let's see.
Well, Madam Chair,
it would not.
Representative Nelson?
That's what I wanted to hear. I just want to know, because there's been some concern, Madam Chair, about some people were pushing to have them only sold in buildings, and there are a couple different groups out there that want to sell these, that some sell them in tents, that they're concerned that they're going to be restricted to only buildings, that would lock out some competitors in the business.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Creasel, good morning and welcome to the committee. A couple of questions for you. In any way, does this bill modify, change, or override local zoning ordinances as to what's permissible in any given area within the community? For example, I couldn't go out of my driveway and start a fireworks type of situation if I'm in a residential area. In other words, could a community restrict that to a commercial or a business district for sale?
Representative Creasel.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, they can, yes. They can restrict that.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Representative Creasel, to Representative Nelson's question about tents versus inside, if zoning ordinances in a community would prohibit outside sales such as a tent or other kind of open markets in a given area, would your bill override city zoning ordinance in any way on that?
Representative Creasel.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, no.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Representative Creasel, your bill in no way supersedes the city's local zoning authority.
Representative Creasel.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, no.
Madam Chair, one more question.
O'Driscoll.
In any way, does your bill, Representative Creasel, override state fire code?
Representative Creasel.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, no.
Thank you. No further questions.
Representative Winkler.
Are we on the amendment?
We're on the amendment.
Well, I think we can put the bill in the shape the author wants it. I think other people will contradict the testimony of Representative O'Driscoll.
I wanted to see if anybody wanted to speak particularly to the amendment before we put it on. Okay. We're going to vote on the amendment then. All those in favor of the A4 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. motion does prevail. Back to you, Representative Winkler.
No, Madam Chair, I have some amendments, but I think it would be helpful to get some information from test fires first.
Okay, are you done with your presentation? Would you like to present the entire bill, Representative Kreisel, or do you feel you've covered that?
I feel that we covered that before. Just I wanted to focus on the local control aspect, what was directly related to this committee. So,
yes, I will remind members that is our focus, the local control part. So if we could try to limit to that would be great. Do you have witnesses, Representative Kreisel?
I do have a testifier, Gary Hansen.
Mr. Hansen, come up. Welcome to the committee, and if you could just identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gary Hansen. I'm from Minnesota here.
Go ahead and proceed.
Okay, I sit on a bunch of different committees that have involved with writing code for fireworks, consumer and display for the last 18 years. I sit on these committees for the NFA, which is National Fireworks Association. I'm also a principal member of the NFPA, which is National Fire Prevention Association. I was involved with writing Chapter 7 with 1124, which has to do with all the venues of consumer fireworks sales. And I think the state of Minnesota State Fire Code does point to 1124 and 1123, depending on what the type of fireworks and displays are. I also am the CEO of a manufacturing explosives and fireworks company and a display company in the state of Minnesota.
Okay. Representative Kreisel?
I'll just have him standing by in case there's any technical questions, Madam Chair.
Okay. Does anybody have any question for Mr. Hansen? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Hansen, don't go away.
Sorry.
That's okay. On the floor when this was the other night when they were talking about this, there was some question about the amount of fireworks that this would allow, the size of fireworks this would allow to be, something about the number of grams of a certain fireworks display that would be allowed under this. And there was question of what was that comparable to. I think it was 500 grams or what. I'm not sure. Representative Kreisel might know the answer better than me, but it's the matter of what is that compared to, a stick of dynamite, half a stick of dynamite. What little I know about them, I thought M80s were an eighth or a quarter of a stick of dynamite, but these displays that they're going to be allowed under this now, what, you know, what can we look at, and how much compared to a stick of dynamite are we talking about explosives?
Mr. Nelson?
Madam Chair,
can I answer that? Okay, thank you. The 500-gram limit is a limit that's been generated by the CPSC, Consumer Product Safety, and that is a federal law. That is the maximum allowed any place in the United States, and that is pyrotechnics limit. That is, which is a mixture of all the chemicals, black powder, whatever it is that makes it up, all those different colors, stars and things that you see, the glitters and the flitters, that sort of thing. That is the maximum. It doesn't make any difference how large the box is. The box could be the size of this desk. It still has a limit of 500 grams, and that's a federal law. That's the limit. So that is the maximum amount. And to compare, it's hard to say because M80s and that sort of thing have been illegal in the United States since 1966, and that was a federal law. And in doing so, the flash powder that's in the M80s and that sort of thing has been classified as high explosives. Fireworks are classified low explosives. So there's no coalition scientifically to relate to it because it just doesn't have it. When high explosives detonate, there's a shock wave, a supersonic wave that goes through it, and it basically it sets it off just by being close to it. And in fireworks and low explosives, you can't set it off with a shock wave. It actually has to be lit, and the fire propagates from one section to another. And on these 500-gram pyrotechnic devices, you're only allowed to have 75 grams in a tube, and the tubes have to be so far apart. So if you look in U.S. DOT 87-1, it goes into great detail, explains all of that for propagation of fire, and in case there's something malfunctions. So I think I answered all of your questions.
Representative Nelson?
A lot of technical jargon there that, you know, and we all, that I'm not, because I'm not used to that, like I said. Okay. And it's interesting that M80s have been illegal since 1966, because I remember people in the neighborhood having them as a youth, and so it's and I, that was after 1966. So that's interesting, but like I said, in layman's terms, and something that I would understand is not something that understands all the ins and outs. Compare that explosively. I understand a little bit the high and the low, but this was asked on the floor, so that's why I'm asking here. And Representative Kreisel didn't know the answer, and you're here. That's why I'm asking the question. You know, compared to a stick of dynamite, what are we talking about with 500 grams? How much is in a stick of dynamite? I guess that would be an easy way to compare.
Mr. Hansen.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Nelson. There is really no way to compare it because one's high explosive, one goes at supersonic speed, one detonates and one deflagrates. High explosive, I know, there's terms. But, okay, high explosive like dynamite, if they're within 2-3 feet of it, you don't have to light the second or third stick of dynamite, they just propagate. In fireworks and low explosive, you can't. It'll just function, it won't propagate to the next device. And there, it'd be just fractions of comparison to dynamite because dynamite is, well, I don't even know if they make it anymore, but it just there's no comparison. It'd be just a very small amount to it. By the way, we used to make M80s, and I got drafted into service in 1966, and I came back in 1969, and the federal government told me that was no longer allowed to do that. So I'll give you a little history. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair. I guess what I'm worried about is and some kid getting this big box or a couple of things with 500 grams in it and being ingenious and taking all of it and putting it in one place and how big of a boom they're going to have and what kind of damage they could do either to themselves or to people around them. And that's what I'm concerned about because I'm not naive. I know that happens. In fact, as I said on the floor the other night, a friend of my brother-in-law's, by doing that, blew off part of his hand when he was a young kid. So, I mean, kids do things that they're not supposed to do, and we all want to say we're the best parents in the world, and that's not going to happen with my kids, and they're not going to do this, but kids do these things. So that's what I'm concerned about is, you know, 500 grams, what kind of a boom could they get if they put this all in one place and packed it into something so that they get the effect of that? And that's why I'm asking. There's for me, it's a safety issue on it.
Representative Scalzi?
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and I'm just trying to get a handle on something easy to understand is that, I mean, I know what cities do when they have firefighters setting off the fireworks and everything's under a controlled situation, and then there would be this that the public would buy, like people buy in Wisconsin. So we're not creeping into what the cities are allowed to do with a controlled situation. I'm trying to get the ratio from this to the city's controlled situation.
Mr. Hansen?
Madam Chair, there's limits and to do a display fireworks, and the fire code right now in the state of Minnesota requires you to have a shooter's permit license. You have to go take a test, pass the test, and you have to work on 5 shows, and you got to do a background check, fingerprinted, that sort of thing, and you have to in the state of Minnesota, and this code or this code that we're working on today, 1774, does not impede on large display fireworks because that's federally controlled explosives. You have to have licensing, and I can show you. Well, I have all the federal licensing, and you also have the Minnesota explosives license to do those sort of things. You have to have $1.5 million insurance or more. You have to, and you have to follow all the NFPA 1123, those regulations, because that's a display. That's a different code book, but on the display. So there's a whole bunch of differentiations about it. And then depending on the venue, I hate to get into it too much, but there's an outdoor show. In fact, our company used to do the fireworks show behind the Capitol building on a parking lot queue back in the early 90s. That's what big this show. We also actually were allowed to shoot off the steps of the Capitol building in front. But that was what we call articles pyrotechnics. I'm trying to get without getting into too detail. So there's basically about 3 different tiers of things, one being public, one being articles pyrotechnic, where you have a venue such as like the Dome Stadium where you have flames and all that control, or the bands and that sort of thing. That's called close proximate. There's another code for that. That's 1126. And then you have the consumer fireworks, which is that. they can't compete.
Representative Scalzi.
And I just and that's helpful. I'm just I know that we love fireworks. We always, I mean, I love fireworks. And I know that a lot of people do go to Wisconsin to buy them. I think that, and that's been testified before, people are doing it anyway. But I think what people are doing, they're being very, very careful because they don't want to get in trouble with the law. And to me, this then, if without proper city controls, or a city being able to say no except for the federally controlled ones, it's just going to be like, you know, anything goes. That's, I guess, my concern. I would like cities to be able to say, no, we don't want them in our city, and that's what I would like to see. Thank you.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What is the equivalent energy release of the 500 grams proportional to a stick of dynamite?
Mr. Hansen?
You're talking about a calorimetric bomb test?
Representative Quam.
Madam Chair, we have conversions for nuclear weapons to TNT. When I was a kid, we had conversion of, oh, that's a quarter stick, etc. I think what an earlier question was, you know, no matter what type of energy, light, shock, wave, etc., what is the equivalent energy release? If you want to use calories, if you want to use whatever measure.
Mr. Hansen?
Okay, that's a very difficult question because when you have the 500, thank you, Madam Chair, when you have 500 grams in a box or device, it's still in individual tubes. And like I said, it doesn't propagate to the next tube, so you're only going to be releasing energy at 75 grams at a time. And to do that, I guess I don't know, it's minuscule compared to high explosives. There's no comparison.
Representative Quam.
Children are ingenious. Cap guns, you know, one at a time, but a big rock and a roll of caps, and you do have a noticeable increase. So therefore, if someone was to be ingenious, then, and you caused the release of energy in a close proximity of time, what is the equivalent, you know, calories? I assume that there, you know what it is for black powder and the components, so then give a 75 and I can multiply out myself. How much is the 75 per unit equivalent proportionally energy release-wise to a stick of dynamite?
Mr. Hansen?
Madam Chair, thank you. I can't give you a number because there's about a list of about 60 different chemicals that are allowed to be. If you look at US DOT 87-1, it lists all the chemicals and the possibilities. The formulas are maybe 6,000 to 8,000 possible formulas, and they all give out different amounts of calories and energy and the burning. So if I give you a number, it would strictly be hypothetical at best. There is no definitive thing. The labs, there's no way of just answering that with a number.
Okay, thank you. Members, I just want to remind everyone, we do have a session at 10. So it'd be great if we could get this wrapped up. And we have several people that want to testify. And now I have a couple of members on the list. But if we could just hate to have to recess session to come back to finish the bill.
Recession.
Yeah. Well, maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm just, you know, thinking back to my youth and my enjoyable afternoon sitting in my backyard blowing up Army men with firecrackers. And, you know, actually having fireworks, firecrackers you can buy is in many ways safer than the deviousness of some young folks who try to make their own firecrackers, their own fireworks. I know of a young man in one of my towns who blew off two fingers of his hand trying to make his own fireworks. It just might be safer to let them go buy their own.
Representative Winkler.
Well, Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to try to expedite, if I can, a little bit the proceedings. And I, Representative Kreisel, I think you probably agree that we, on fireworks, we probably need to be somewhere between the fun police and reckless endangerment of children and impaired adults. And we have to try to find kind of the right balance. And I think some of the testimony from local government units is going to be that they don't necessarily have the ability to do the kind of zoning and other kinds of regulations that we might assume that they have in this area. And so we have a series of amendments that deal with local control type issues. And so that's what, you know, we're going to be focused on. And I know the testifiers are going to come down, but if we can kind of speed it up, I guess we can focus on some of these amendments that get to the issue of local authority to regulate the sale and use of fireworks.
Representative Winkler, are you suggesting we do the amendments before we have the testifiers come up? I think I would like to have the testifiers come up first, unless you... That way they'll be up there and they can...
My suggestion was that the testifiers who want to focus on local ordinance issues come first, and okay, we can maybe do the amendments and then...
Okay. Okay, anyone that... I have three testifiers on the list, so we'll go in order, but if you could focus those your comments to the local government issues, that would be great. The first person I have on the list is Jeff Spartz. Welcome to the committee, and if you could just identify yourself before you begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am Jeff Spartz. I am staff for the Association of Minnesota Counties. I want to start my testimony by saying that my organization has no position on the issue of fireworks or Class C fireworks per se. Our concern is about the ability to reasonably regulate and manage the use thereof in the community. And I think the amendment labeled A5 speaks to that. And we would appreciate it if that were inserted in the bill so it was clear that counties had the authority necessary to maintain reasonable regulation for life and safety purposes. We're not against the use of fireworks, but we think there will be issues if the legislature does not allow local governments to exercise reasonable management over this. And I just want to briefly speak to a question Representative Quam had raised about how powerful quantities of black powder can be. When I was a kid, when I was 12, my friends and I started making black powder, and I must say it was high-grade black powder. And we used to take small cartridges about this large and put, I would say, 3 ounces in them, and they would be sufficient to do quite a bit of damage. One faith. For some stupid reason, I decided to test one in my basement in the laundry tub, which was steel. With 5 gallons of water in the tub, it blew the tub to smithereens. So you wouldn't want to be near one when it goes off. So if there are any questions from committee members, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, thanks for the advice. Representative O'Driscoll.
What did your mom say?
I nearly died from that experience as part of the aftermath, not the actual explosion.
Madam Chair, I fear that we are getting to a how-to course where this video or this tape may actually be well sought after by youth in the state of Minnesota if we don't watch our testimony here today.
Madam Chair, I will not describe how one makes black powder. That's fair.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Spartz? Thank you. We'll move on to the next. Thank you very much. We'll move on to Tim Biltzo, I believe. You could just start out by identifying yourself before you begin.
Madam Chair, my chair here. Thank you. My name is Tim Biltzo, and I am a council member with the City of Plymouth, and I'm here representing the City of Plymouth and the League of Minnesota Cities in testimony. I could add a story of my own, too, about using fireworks when I was a kid. My parents should be here to testify about the use of fireworks, but fortunately they're not. We all have stories to tell about that. And what I want to talk about briefly is leaving the public safety aside, the health issue, the fire issue, the police issue. I'm going to talk about that briefly, but that doesn't seem to be what we're really focusing on today, is local control. What happens to cities? So I'm going to talk briefly about that in my experience in Plymouth. I've been a council member for 14 years, and over the 14 years, probably the number one, or in the top five, I would say, issue that I've heard from constituents, and we're a relatively urban city, is one of noise and regulating noise and noise ordinances. Noise ordinances are very, very difficult to enforce and to regulate. And actually, in our city, we're in the process right now of looking at our noise ordinance, because we have police officers responding to noise ordinances, which is, first of all, difficult to investigate, and second, I think, a waste of time, because they are very difficult to enforce and regulate. And so with this, our concern in Plymouth, and I would imagine in other cities too, is the increase in noise and a public nuisance that this creates for citizens. So again, away from the public safety issue, the issue of children getting hurt, there's an issue of noise and regulating the noise ordinance. Another thing that, just to give you an idea of what happens with public nuisance complaints, is on a given evening, nice summer evening, our police department receives a number of calls for public nuisance calls. And it's common on a beautiful evening, 10, 11 o'clock at night, our officers are responding to those calls. When we respond to those calls, which are important calls to respond to, we crowd out other calls. We make it difficult for our officers to respond to the alarm that's going off in a business in Plymouth, or a call of domestic abuse. We have to prioritize those calls. But this, in my opinion, and based on history of 14 years in the council, the number of calls urban cities get, we're just adding to that, which means we're going to have to hire more officers to deal with an ordinance that is very difficult to enforce and also to investigate. So from a public safety, from a city, a local government standpoint, I see this as creating more calls for our officers, more stress on our officers, and probably the need to hire more officers, which is a tax burden on all the taxpayers, business, and citizens in the city. So I think that's all I'll present at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Bildsoe? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Dulce, Madam Chair. And Mr. Dulce, so you would look at this as an unfunded mandate on the city?
Mr. Bildsoe?
Madam Chair, I would say that it could be. If you want our officers to respond to all the calls that they receive, and I believe that this is going to increase public nuisance calls, and those officers need to respond to all the calls that they're given, we're going to need to hire potentially more officers to deal with it.
Representative Beard.
Thank you. Mr. Councilmember, thank you for your testimony about noise. In the neighborhood in which I live, we had that's not helping either. We have a lot of folks that of different ethnicities that seem to have moved in. They celebrate a lot of holy days or festival days by blowing things up and shooting sparkly things in the sky. We're grateful that they seem to have the common sense, or at least the respect for our culture, enough to stop it before about 10 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's respected. And they are kind of pretty, actually. The one that really drives me crazy, though, is the low bass frequency stuff that mm-hmm. seems to drive through the neighborhood somewhere between midnight and 1:30 in the morning. I'm not even sure they're in my neighborhood. They could be two or three blocks away. Mm-hmm. Those low frequency sounds just drive us crazy. Can't even identify them. And seem to rattle with pictures on the walls. But just thanks for the noise complaint issue. That's one thing I guess we expect our cities to do, is describe some sort of parameters for living. And mm-hmm. the fireworks thing, I'm noticing more and more of it, but probably less and less annoyance by that than I am by some other things.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair?
Mr. Bildsoe?
Thank you for raising the low frequency. That's an issue that we have around a lot of things, and it's mm-hmm. very difficult to regulate, very difficult to determine where the noise comes from mm-hmm. and what the noise is, but it is disturbing to people, and it's, again, the whole issue of noise and public nuisance is something that we see coming from this, and the calls that I get, I can maybe refer them on to my state rep.
Representative Murray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Bilso, I see that there's an effective date here of June 1st, 2012, if this passes. Is that a reasonable amount of time for local units of government to come up with the ordinances and the rules to put this in place?
Mr. Bilso?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Every city's different, and every city has different things that they're dealing with at a time that maybe some can't get to that, to an ordinance or amend their ordinance in time to do that. I would say from our city standpoint, a bit more time might be better for us to do it right. I mean, we want to do it right. If we want to do it once, we want to do it right. And so I would say a bit more time would be, useful, I think. I think the other thing, too, if I could, Madam Chair, is we would want to talk to folks in the industry, too, to get, some input from them, too, as to what's, what works, what doesn't, too. So I would say for us, maybe a bit more time would be great. Thank you.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councilmember, welcome. Having been involved in local government, having dealt with this issue when the current type of fireworks that are now permissible in the state of Minnesota came into effect, we had to look at our city ordinances. And some of the things that we came into question were, number one, where would we locate these? So we went back and we looked at the type of businesses and the type of methods that these would be sold, and we looked at our city ordinance and said, oh, we would allow in this particular area outside retailing. And we were told by Representative Kreisel earlier today that those types of city zoning ordinances or noise ordinances or fire code and fire inspection and those kinds of things were not going to be compromised in any way if we went from the current type of fireworks that are allowed in the state of Minnesota to the next level of fireworks should they become permissible in the state of Minnesota. Do you believe that you have adequate regulation within your city right now in scope of authority at the current level? And if so, how would it change if we went to this new level? What are the things that you'd anticipate would be different?
Mr. Bilso?
Madam Chair, it's a good question. I don't know if I can give you an answer at this time. I don't know. I can't answer that question. Give you a good answer for it at this time.
Senator O'Driscoll.
Madam Chair, thank you. Councilmember, do you believe that right now you have adequate authority to be able to regulate the current type of fireworks that are allowed and legal in the state of Minnesota?
I believe we do.
And do you think that you would still be able to use those rules that are in place within your city ordinances and state code and fire code to be able to enforce what's going on right now?
Mr. Bilso?
Madam Chair, I don't know the answer to that question, but I want to take that off the plate for a second and just say that I don't, from our city's point, we're not trying to, I'm not here to speak about necessarily regulating or saying to business they can't sell them. I'm more concerned about the introduction of more of this type of product in the state and in our community and what it does to the citizens. So, from a regulation standpoint, I can speak to the city of Plymouth and your city too, Sartell, if I understand, okay, that we're going to do what's right for business, and we're going to also do what's right for the community in promoting our business climate and making it acceptable and not having tents in the parking lot of Cub Foods. We want our community to look good. We want to promote business. We do a good job of that. My concern is not with the business part. We want businesses to flourish, make money, and be prosperous in the state. My concern, and the citizens, my constituents' concern, is the use of the product, the public nuisance to folks from using it, and the danger of using it. So that's where our concern is. I know that we're going to create ordinances that are going to make it acceptable for businesses in the community and also make sure that you know that the community looks and feels good, so to speak. Again, taking that off the table, my concern, my testimony today is more about what it does to the citizens' health and also just their public enjoyment.
Thank you. We have very limited time, so I'd like to get to the last witness before we get to the amendments, if that would be all right with everyone. Thank you. The last witness I have is Matt Hyland, I guess, who's also with the League of Cities.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Matt Hyland, St. Francis City Administrator, and I too sit in nearly every City Council meeting. I hear my elected officials communicate with me very clearly about the repetitive complaints, primarily around the 4th of July season. I hear the garbage complaints that come in. I hear the calls that come into City Hall as it relates to the nuisance factor, both noise and debris. And as much as we can all sit here and say that we'll do it on our private property, and I understand that this is proposed at no public property, typically what we see is a lot of garbage and debris that are the remnants are sitting in our public sidewalks, streets, and occasionally on parkland. This is a new unfunded mandate. When we're looking at the cost of cleaning up, the cost of, in our area, Northern Anoka County, where we have lots of wetlands, lots of peat ground, and a lot of forest area. When you start introducing the aerial fireworks, that will cause additional fires. Just last night, coming home, I see two great big fires. It's pretty hard to miss, and that will increase fire calls when you introduce, legalize the aerials, and how do I, as a local official, assist my City Council in creating ordinances that that will regulate fire calls? That will be very unique. So, respecting your time, Madam Chair, I will pause for questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Okay, maybe at this time would be a good time for us to take a look at these amendments. I've got several in front of me. Anyone would like to claim the...
Madam Chair.
Representative Winkler.
I'd like to start by moving the A6.
Representative Winkler moves the A6 amendment.
And Madam Chair and members, Representative Friesel, the A6 amendment is essentially it's the Wisconsin law. Wisconsin legalizes, you can sell these types of fireworks in Wisconsin. We've heard a lot about that. But Wisconsin also empowers local elected officials to regulate or even prohibit the sale or use of fireworks in their local community. So far from being the bastion of freedom on the east side of the St. Croix, Wisconsin actually basically has a big market to sell to Minnesota, and if we did so, Minnesota would be largely unregulated, while Wisconsin permits cities to regulate for their local community. So the A6 essentially is the ultimate local control provision. It gives cities, counties, or townships, as the case may be, the authority to regulate fireworks as best fits their local community. And, I think given the premise of this bill that Minnesota should make it legal and we should, not have to drive across state lines in order to buy these things and bring it back and make criminals out of people who are trying to just enjoy themselves. Doing something in the same mode as Wisconsin here in Minnesota makes a lot of sense to me, and local officials probably are best suited to figure out what works in their community.
Representative Kreisel?
Madam Chair, I would ask, hopefully, for no vote on this. This is, again, the reason that Wisconsin has that law is to sell to Minnesotans, and that's it. Minnesotans are responsible people. The amendment that I put on allows local units of government to impose reasonable restrictions on the sale of fireworks. So it addresses some of the current concerns that were brought up here today, that tents aren't in the Cub Foods parking lot, or just the city doesn't look like a mess because there's tents everywhere looking like a gypsy camp selling fireworks. This is this gives local units of government the control. And so I would respectfully ask for a no vote.
Representative Simon?
Well, I'm disappointed that you're against it, Representative Kreisel. I'm looking for a reason to vote for this bill in the sense that I love fireworks, and not just my 14-year-old self, my current self. I think they're fun. My family has a lake place in Wisconsin, so I regularly light them off there. So I want to find a way to vote for this, and I was sort of hoping that the Winkler Amendment would be it. But I got to tell you, you know, I've been contacted by a lot of people in the firefighting community, including my own fire chiefs. The local control thing does matter to me. I think cities, whether it's Plymouth or Hopkins or St. Louis Park, should have the ability to regulate this and have some reasonable kind of time, place, and manner restrictions. So I'm really on the bubble here, and I lean more in the direction of the Winkler-style amendment. So if it doesn't go on today, I hope it can go on the floor. But I'd urge support for this amendment. I think that strikes the balance that Representative Winkler was talking about earlier.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Winkler, the question that I have on the amendment is in Subdivision 1A, and it's the last sentence. The annual licensing fee imposed on any other retail seller of consumer fireworks novelty sparklers may not exceed $100 per year. Under the current permissive language for the sale of fireworks in the state of Minnesota, an individual would come to the city of Sartell who would like to have to erect this tent or other kind of outside sale, or even within their place of business, because they're not a regular seller of these, would be required to have an inspection by the city fire marshal to make sure that there were proper places and exits and compliance and storage and so forth of these kinds of things. My question is, does your amendment place cities in any other kind of undue hardship, because they would have to send the inspector out more than once if that tent was to be erected, say, in June for a July 4th or Independence Day sale, and something that might go in at, say, middle of December for some New Year's type of sales? If we're wanting to have local control, we already would charge, and statute would permit that to be able to be done anyhow. So I'm wondering if we don't already have that control at the local level.
Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, I'm not sure that this subdivision, this subpart A, is even strictly necessary. What it basically does is limit the amount of fee that these retailers would ever have to pay, and so a community couldn't, you know, decide that they were going to charge some outrageous fee as a way of pushing the sellers out instead of just prohibiting it or something. So, I think this could be done in any way, but the whole point of this subpart is to limit the total amount that the retailer would have to pay out. But if we have existing law that would cover it, maybe Ms. Dyson could give us some advice. I'd be open to striking that first part of the amendment.
Ms. Dyson?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler and O'Driscoll, the paragraph A under Subdivision 1A was actually intended to take the part that is already in the bill and retain that portion of the licensing fee, because under in the bill itself, on page 3, you'll see that people who are in the business exclusively of selling fireworks are licensed at one fee rate, maximum rate, and that people who are in general retail and sell fireworks have a lower rate. But that was taken from the bill itself because the amendment actually strikes and deletes language from all of paragraph C, and then creates a new paragraph C for the structure language that is in on page 3, lines 3.8 to 3.11. That's the language on the amendment. That's the new paragraph C. So it retains that part from the bill. And then in paragraph A of the new subdivision, retains the language on the licensing fee maximums that are in the bill. And then paragraph B is the additional authority for more restrictive local regulation.
So, Madam Chair,
Representative Winkler,
Ms. Dyson, it sounds like essentially this paragraph A is just rewriting the existing statute with the current bill language on top of it. So, in order to make this work and be as consistent as possible with Representative Kreisel's bill, that language is in there for that reason. And I don't think it would require you to go and do more fire inspections.
Representative O'Driscoll.
If you had a tent that was, Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, if you had a tent that was erected in a parking lot and was taken down in the months of August, September, October, November, and was re-erected in December,
course you'd have to have another inspection because it's being reestablished, and so you have to make sure that everything was still in compliance. And I wonder if the $100 is an appropriate fee. Again, it's probably something that I may be making more out of than needs to be, but I think my more global is we do have local control already on those kinds of things.
Any other comments on the 8-6 amendment? Representative Nelson?
Madam Chair, I was just going to point out what Ms. O'Driscoll said, or Ms. Tyson said. This is the existing law, and it's in the existing bill. This language just compacts it and puts it all together. You know, if you look at the bill, the existing law already says you may not exceed the $350, and they may not exceed the $100. That's in the existing law. That hasn't been changed by this bill. And so what the amendment here does, it just basically recodifies that.
Okay. Any other questions? The A6 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A6 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No. Motion does not prevail. Any other amendments?
Madam Chair, I think the A5 amendment, I'll move the A5 amendment. It is not as permissive for local elected officials to regulate health and safety in their own community as the A6 was, but the A5 is the amendment the Association for Minnesota Counties urged us to adopt. And to be clear, this pertains to use of fireworks, not sale of fireworks. So this makes clear that local units of government have the authority to establish reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions on the use of the fireworks, not the sale, but their use. And I think there is some question from local units of government about whether they have this authority under current law, and this would clarify that they most certainly do have the authority to do that.
Representative Kreisel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My bill, as it's currently written, is it does not preempt any local noise ordinances. I oppose this amendment also. What I want to avoid, and I think we all need to be concerned with, is creating patchwork regulations where you go from where I'm at, Cottage Grove, to Woodbury, and have dramatically different laws, and you go and visit relatives where they're at, and you bring fireworks, and you don't know the laws. You go to different places, and it's completely different than where you're from or whatever. So I think I would ask for a no vote, but they are allowed to have local ordinances. My bill would not preempt those.
Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreisel, what you just said there is basically taking away local control, because that's what it's all about. Is if Cottage Grove has an ordinance and Woodbury has a significantly different ordinance, there's going to be a patchwork already. And you're saying you want to support local control and you're not taking it away, but this what you're saying is your bill supersedes that and it is taking away local control.
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreisel, we do have one standard now, and that is that you can't use them. So, you know, it's not always the best to have one single standard statewide, I guess. And the reason why you do this is not so that cities that are the same and you can't tell the difference between them can't have regulations. It's so that cities like Minneapolis and cities like, Bagley, which are really not anything like each other, can use their own local best decision-making and what works best for their own community to regulate it. And there really is a question. You need to find out more information about it. Counties don't have general health, safety, and welfare type authority. It may be implied. It's not clear. It's not clear the positions of townships. Cities may or may not have the authority to do this. But there's always a question, if they don't have explicit authority, whether they're taking too much of a risk and they're going to end up being sued by somebody if they try to overregulate something. So it seems to me that if our goal is to make sure that this is safe, the A5 is a very minimum standard that we should adopt to let local units of government have some reasonable restrictions on their use. Otherwise, it's really unclear if there's any local authority to restrict it, regardless of your bill.
Any other questions? for the A5 amendment. Okay, members, if you could vote loud enough so the chair can hear, that would be helpful. All those in favor of the A5 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
Nay.
Nay. Motion does not prevail. We've got two more. We've got 5 minutes before session starts. It would be good if we could finish.
Well, Madam Chair, I suspect
Representative Winkler?
None of the other amendments are very interesting to the author, and it's unfortunate to me because I think you have an opportunity to have some reasonable restrictions on the use of fireworks, not to prohibit it, not to be the fun police, at the same time not to basically leave it wide open as to whether anybody can protect local communities and their citizens. So I think you're making a mistake by rejecting these amendments. I hope you'll reconsider before the Rules Committee and before the floor, or I suspect you may be in a position where you are attracting more opposition to your bill than it really needs to have.
So,
and Madam Chair, so I would urge just to vote no on the fixed bill.
Okay, so we're setting aside the A7 and A8 amendments for now? Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. All those in favor, well, I guess I'll renew my motion. House File 1774 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to Rules. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay?
No.
Motion does prevail. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.